Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Good morning to our family in Chicago. We love you guys. So excited to be able to minister here and minister over there. I want to say hello to all of our online family. Jesus is building his church. How many are happy that the presence of the Lord is here? The presence of the Lord is in Chicago. And anyone who's watching, how many are thankful that Jesus is right there with them? Come on, let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm so excited about today's message as we continue in the Living the Dream series. And we're walking through the amazing life of Joseph. Joseph is known in the Bible as a young man who got a dream from God, and then he actually lived out the dream. This story is in the scriptures for you and I. This story is in the scriptures so that we can know how to live out the dream of God that he has for us. And I want to say this to you once again. If you have a heart after God, God has a dream for you. How many would say amen? If you have a heart after God, you don't have to be perfect, but if you have a heart after God, God has a dream for you, and that dream is ready to explode and be released into our lives. But this week, we begin to look at one of the great themes of faith and one of the great components of living the dream, which actually speaks to the unseen hand of God. How many believe in the unseen hand of God? You see, when you live the dream, you start to understand that the hand of God is with you, even though you cannot perceive it all of the time. Part of living the dream of God is putting your trust in the unseen hand of God. And when you look at the story of Joseph today, I want to actually go back 11 chapters, because Joseph was not the only person in the Bible who received a dream from God. Actually, Jacob received a dream from God. And when Jacob received that dream, he was actually running from a self-created crisis. Anybody in Chicago, anybody here, have you ever created a crisis for yourself? Come on, don't raise your hand, but just go ahead and nod. This was a self-created crisis that he caused for himself, and he has to run from his family because he created some trouble. He actually stole something. And then when he gets out into Nowheresville, which is what happens when we try to do things in our own strength, he puts his head on a rock to sleep. That's what life, that's the way it goes, right? When you do things your own way, you end up sleeping on a rock. But God is faithful and God is merciful. And because even though he had done this thing that was wrong, even though that was the case, Jacob had a heart after God, and God gave Jacob a dream that night. And when he gave him the dream, Jacob saw a ladder that went from the earth to heaven. And God was saying to Jacob, "Jacob, my son, I love you. And you don't have to do this on your own. And there is help." There were angels rising and falling on that ladder. And then Jacob wakes up, and this was one of those moments when he started to realize that the unseen hand of God was with him. And I want to read it to all of us just for a moment. It says, "When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.'" And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants someone to say today, the Holy Spirit wants someone to realize today, surely the Lord is right there with you, right here, right now. The unseen hand of God is upon his children. Somebody say amen. Listen to this. It says, "This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Wherever you are, that is the gate of heaven." It was the case for Jacob. It was the case for Joseph, as we're going to see today. And listen, in Chicago, it's the case for you and me. This moment, this day, is the gate of heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And what he started to do is he started to worship the Most High, faithful God, because he said, Lord, I wasn't aware of it, but you're with me. And when you look at the life of Joseph, you see that Joseph was ahead of his dad. Joseph got this. Joseph received a dream from God. And Joseph, even though he came from dysfunction, even though he came from disappointment and heartbreak, there was this incredible faith in him that says, I believe no matter where I find myself, that God is with me. And what I want to tell you today is that when God is with you, you can keep rising. And the title of the message today is Dreamers Keep Rising. And we keep rising because of the unseen hand of God. Can I tell you something? Last week when I was preaching at a certain point, I could feel, I had been praying all week. I've been praying all week for you. Okay? I've been praying all week for you. And I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit wants to shatter unbelief inside of you today. The Holy Spirit wants to shatter thoughts of abandonment and thoughts of rejection and thoughts of condemnation where you fail to realize and you fail to receive God is with me right here, right now. How many want to say, yes, I believe he's with me right here and right now? Put your hands together if you believe that. Hallelujah. Praise God if you believe that, because the Lord is with you. And if you're going to live the dream, you have to receive the fact that the Lord is with you. So now we're going to jump in, okay, 11 chapters forward, picking up this story. Joseph has been sold into slavery by his own brothers. And we've talked about the fact that he came from a very dysfunctional family. But despite that, Joseph steps into this place. He goes down, he's taken to Egypt, and then he's sold into the house of Potiphar, an Egyptian master. I'm getting a real kickback here. Could you lower it a little bit? And listen to what the Bible says. Genesis 39, starting with verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. He lived in the house of his Egyptian master. What a contradiction. What a contradiction that he could be sold as a slave, but the Lord was with him and he prospered. What is this here in the scripture for? It's so that you could say, no matter where you find yourself today, the Lord is with you and he can cause you to prosper. Somebody say amen. You can prosper right from where you are because the Lord is with you. Sometimes we don't perceive how powerful the unseen hand of God is, but the unseen hand of God keeps us rising even though our visible circumstances don't reveal the present blessing of God. One of the things that we learn from the life of Joseph is that his favor can be found in the midst of unfavorable circumstances. And your circumstances don't always reflect the favor of God. Let me keep reading. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Right there as a slave, the unseen hand of God was working in his life. How many know God doesn't take days off? He hasn't taken a day off in your life. He's right there. Hallelujah. It says, from the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. God wants to bring you and I to the place, not only that we are blessed, that we become a blessing. Does anybody want to become a blessing? Wherever you go, you could bring the blessing of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Christianity. That's what life is all about. This is what was going on through the life of Joseph. Hallelujah. And then it says, the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Everyone say, in the field. This is going to be important later on. In the field, in the house, and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So I want to say a couple more things before we open in prayer. If you're going to live the dream of God, you have to put your trust in the unseen hand of God. And here's what the unseen hand of God can do for our lives. Number one, the unseen hand of God can prosper you starting where you find yourself today. The unseen hand of God can distinguish you starting where you are today. Even from a tough place, people can start to notice God is with this person. There's something about this person. I know that they seem to be in difficulty, but I know that they won't be there long because God is with this person. The unseen hand of God can position you perfectly, which will be very important to today's message. And lastly, the unseen hand of God can bless the work of your hands today. Today, the unseen hand of God can bless the work of your hands. So if you're in a tough spot today before we pray, if maybe you've been grumbling a little bit about where you find yourself, this is a word to all of the secret grumblers. We never grumble, right? But just for those. Okay, today is a day to be encouraged and to say, I'm not going to grumble anymore. I'm going to put my faith, I'm going to put my trust in the unseen hand of God. If you're here today and you find yourself in difficult circumstances, don't run away from God's will. Don't try to escape the pathway that God has for your life. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, to walk out of God's will is to step into nowhere. And we're not going to step into nowhere. We're going to stay in the center of God's will. How many would say amen? So, Father, we thank you. Lift your hands with me. God, we thank you for your all-powerful unseen hand. God, we thank you. We love you so much that we walk by faith in Chicago, in Philadelphia, wherever our family finds themselves. We walk by faith, not by sight. We know that you're good. You're good all the time, Lord. And even though we have some difficult seasons and some difficult days, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So today we lift our eyes again and afresh, and we praise you right from where we are. We say, thank you for being with me, Lord God. Thank you for your favor that can still prosper us and cause us to rise by your mighty power, oh God. So bless your word, oh God, to every mind and heart today. Bless us to receive, oh God, what you want us to know, oh God, and how you want us to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Dreamers keep rising because they can tell the difference between God's favor and life circumstances. And you know, even as I was going over my notes today, when I read that, I just started to pray afresh for you. I started to rejoice in advance for what God wants to do in us and through us. Amen? Circumstances don't always equal favor. It's just a temporary positioning, as you're going to see in a few moments. And so look, you can't live the dream if you can't separate tough moments from the great plan of God. It's part of the call of faith for every child of God, and that's what the life of Joseph is all about. So here's what we need to do. I wanna learn from Joseph today. How did he put his trust in the unseen hand of God? How did he keep rising? Well, I've got 2 points for you. One is really an application, but the first one is as follows. First of all, you have to be faithful today. Everybody say, be faithful today. What you notice in Joseph's life is he is consistently living a faith-filled life of faithfulness. To be faithful is the chief sign that you, the chief sign that you are full of faith. In other words, be faithful today because you know that God is here today and God is working today. Last week, we talked about the old field and the new field. Remember the new field. If anyone is in Christ, he is a everyone. He is a new creation. And when you become a new creation, it means that a new field is available. How many know we've got to sow into the new field? And the sooner you sow, the sooner you grow. Be faithful today. Find ways to grow right here and right now. Sow the good seed. Sow the precious seed. What are the seeds that you can sow into your life today? Because when we sow good seed into the good field, how many know God is going to make us fruitful? Now, anytime, I've been preaching for a long time. Can I tell you something? I've noticed that at times, listen up in Chicago, when a preacher starts talking about being faithful today, sometimes people can tune out. Okay? And so I want to challenge everyone here. Don't tune out on the topic of faithfulness. Because faithfulness is the key to promotion in our lives. How many would say amen? See, if you only want to talk about the dream but not being faithful to live the dream, then you just want to dream. In fact, you like daydreaming, but I'm going to tell you right now, we need to quit daydreaming and we need to get faithful today. Amen? Where does this come from? Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 12:11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. So I'm telling you right now, there's some brother who needs to put away the PS7 or whatever it is, like PS2 when my son was a kid. We need to put the games away. We need to put the distractions away. And we need to get sowing for the glory of God. Somebody say amen. We need to sow the seed that we can today, trusting that God will bless that seed and cause it to grow and make us fruitful. And a lot of times we struggle with this because we don't understand that the unseen hand is always positioning us for our good. God knows today what you're going to need tomorrow to prosper. And when you're faithful, you make the most out of the current position. Let me give you a quick example. In the game of chess is about 2,500 years old, but in the 1850s, a young man came upon the scene of the chess world. And he started to mop the floor with all the grandmasters. And everyone was shocked because he just shows up. He was young. Typically, the grandmasters are a little bit more experienced, but he was just mopping the floor, and they couldn't figure out why Paul Morphy was crushing everyone. And then they started to really study his game, and here's what they found out. Up until this point in 1850, for thousands of years, please listen closely, for thousands of years, the way the game of chess was played by the average person, and this is, if you ever play chess, this is kind of how we do it. Unless we study it, this is kind of how we do it. What you do is you say, okay, so if I make this move, then my opponent is going to make that move. And then if they make that move, then I'm going to make that move. And then if they make that move, then I'll make this move. And up until this time, the way the game of chess was won is whoever was the sharpest, the slickest, the shrewdest in being able to make those predictions and make those choices, that's who would win. They call that combinational. Everybody say combinational. Okay, that's the way we tend to think. We think, okay, today I'm going to make this move and that move and the next move. And we're trying to make the best moves. But most human beings can't think past 3 or 5, the grandmasters, maybe 6 or 8 moves. Paul Morphy comes along and says, I'm not playing combinational chess, I'm playing positional chess. And positional chess means that he put himself in the best position to react to the greatest attack or take advantage and actually bring the greatest attack, but it didn't matter. He just made sure that he was in the best position to respond to whatever was going on. Now, what you and I need to walk away today from is knowing purely, truly, deep inside of your heart is that your Lord and Savior, your Heavenly Father, is the Grand Master of positional chess. He knows exactly how to move you from where you are to where you need to go. And even though it may not look like a good position today, it is the perfect position if you put your faith in Jesus. Somebody say, yes, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. God knows the position and he knows the moves so much more than we do. He knows the beginning from the end. The reason that the story of Joseph is in the Bible is actually to prove this. See, a lot of times if you watch a movie, if you read a book, you don't know the beginning of the end, but we do know the beginning from the end. And so let's take advantage of it. I hope that you've been reading the whole life of Joseph. Read it over and over and over again while we're doing this series. It will be good for your spirit. It'll be good for your mind and heart. So let's look. Let's go to this point in his life. And for the rest of the series, we're going to keep making connections like this. So look, Joseph gets a dream, shares it with his brothers, sold into slavery, absolute low point. But the Bible says, look, even though a righteous man falls 6 times, he will get up 7, because you can't keep a godly man or a godly woman down. We just keep rising. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. So look, he goes down, but he starts to ascend in Potiphar's house. He is prospering even in this most difficult place. Now, he's going to go through a whole host of things, but right here, he learns how to manage Potiphar's fields. Okay, he's managing Potiphar's fields. Now, Joseph doesn't know why he's there. He doesn't understand. All he knows is God gave him a dream, and all he knows is that God is faithful. Now, fast forward to all of the things that go on, and now Joseph, and you'll see as the story unfolds, he becomes the leader of Egypt, and he interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and guess one of the most important assignments he receives when he becomes the second in command in all of Egypt is he is managing his fields. He's managing Pharaoh's fields, and so here's the moral of the story. Faithfulness in Potter's field today will give you fruitfulness in Pharaoh's field tomorrow. And what you have to understand is God wants to use your today to prepare you for the tomorrow. God knows, and you're like, oh, this is so terrible. What a terrible, I hate my job, I hate this, I hate that. We've all been there. But let me tell you something, God is with you. Okay, God is with you. Don't waste the opportunity. Can I tell you, as we were coming here on Friday, we met a sister at the airport, a sister that we know since we moved to Chicago, precious sister. Her name is Myra, and we will see her often because she works for TSA. And so we have to go and give the ID, and she lets us through. And it's so cool because even at O'Hare Airport, we get a hug from her. I mean, she's just a delightful woman of God. And this past Friday, listen closely, this past Friday, we ran into Myra, and it was not very crowded, and we got to talk and fellowship with her. And here's what she told us. She said, you know, God is so good. I'm here. I work for TSA, but I know that God could use me here, and I'm always trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And she told us a story of a woman who would not walk through the machine. machine, you know, I can't stand that machine myself. You have to stand in and go, just feels yuck to me. But anyway, the woman would not stand in the machine. And so she had to do a special kind of search, a pat down. So they called Myra to give the pat down. The woman was quite upset. And she says to her, can I ask you why it is that that you don't want to go through the machine? And she says, well, to be honest with you, my husband and I, we've been trying to get pregnant for so long, and our doctor told us, don't go through that machine. And so I'm afraid to go through it. And so here's what Myra said, if they could send the keyboard player to me. What Myra said is, my sister, would you mind if even while I'm patting you down, would you mind if I pray for you? And so she's standing there, imagine in O'Hare Airport, she's standing there and Myra is patting her down, but she's whispering prayers. And while she's whispering prayers, tears are running down that lady's face and she's being ministered to in O'Hare Airport. Where do you find yourself today? Because God wants to use you in powerful ways to be a blessing to somebody. And she pats her down and she prays over her life. And then at the end, the Spirit of the Lord gives Myra a word, and he says, my sister, I feel in my heart that the Holy Spirit would say to you, this time next year, you're gonna be holding a baby. Hallelujah. So guess what? A year later, that lady came and found Myra and said, my baby is in hand. Could we praise Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. We cannot belittle today. We cannot belittle the opportunities. We cannot belittle our moments to make an impact for the glory of God. Sow seed and be faithful today. And the Bible promises if you're faithful with the small, more will be added unto you. Irrefutable promise. You show me somebody who's faithful, I will show you someone who will be blessed and promoted in the kingdom of the Most High God. Anybody here want to be promoted? Hallelujah. Be faithful. Be faithful today. I'm not belittling anyone's circumstances. How do you belittle 17-year-old boy who gets mistreated by his entire family and all he has is a dream from God? But he held on to the dream more than the past. You know what Joseph said? We said last week, he said it ends here. Once again, I want to encourage, no matter what you've been through, no matter what's going on, listen, God is working by his mighty power. Can I tell you something? There's something special that God is doing, and I don't want you to miss it. Don't miss the great work of God. How? Be faithful. Whatever your hands find to do, do it all for the glory of God. Last thing about faithfulness. Let me tell you what faithfulness will do for you. Number one, faithfulness dissolves imposter syndrome. Do you know some people feel like they don't belong? They feel like I shouldn't be here. They feel like I'm not worthy. But let me tell you, when you're faithful day by day by day, when you say, Lord, I'm putting my head on my pillow today, and I wasn't perfect, but Lord, I did everything I could do to honor you, you won't feel like an imposter. The devil can't tell you you're an imposter. You'll say, I'm a child of God. I'm serving God. I'm honoring God. And those emotional things will be broken off of your mind in the name of Jesus. Faithfulness will destroy entitlement disease. There's a lot of disease. There's plenty of entitlement disease going on in our culture right now, but not for the children of God. Okay, we don't have to have things spoon-fed to us because our Heavenly Father wants to grow us. He wants to strengthen us. And yes, we can struggle a little. And yes, we can suffer a little. Jesus suffered and we can suffer, but we know we will rise because our God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. So it doesn't have to be handed to us in a perfect way. We don't live like that. We say, this is my assignment and God wants to use me right here. And right now, we don't choose the easy road, amen? Here's the last thing. This is my favorite. You know what faithfulness does? Faithfulness conquers childhood labels. Some people are labeled when they're children. There are negative things spoken over people when they're young, and that thing marks them. And maybe you've been marked by negative voices. Maybe you've been marked by all sorts of negativity, but it doesn't matter because your heavenly Father is with you. And all you have to do is sow today as best as you can and sow tomorrow as best as you can. And what you're gonna see is you will become so fruitful. There is no label that will be put on you except blessed and highly favored, child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Come on, celebrate it with me right now in advance. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was here in a prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing this, and I pray this for you. I was in like a store someplace or something, and I was thinking about a point just like this. And you know, sometimes you can forget yourself, right? So I forgot where I was. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, praise you, Jesus. And people looked around and was like, oh, snap, you know. People were like, what's up with this guy, man? But you know, I couldn't help it. I just had to let it out. I want you to go home and let out praise of expectation. Let out praise of fulfillment that you know God is going to fulfill because God has a dream for your life. Don't let any circumstance, you can look at your circumstances and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Okay, now I need to say one more thing. It's very quick, but this is very, very important. Okay? How did Joseph put his trust? He was faithful today. You know what Joseph did? He was always, because of the dream, if you really believe that God has a dream for your life, you keep on getting ready for tomorrow. You keep getting ready for tomorrow. Are you getting ready for what God has for your life? We got to get ready. How do you get ready for tomorrow? You refine your skills. You grow yourself. Look at what the Bible says. It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. Refine your skills. Refine your ability. What kind of skills? Relational skills, communication skills, technical skills, mommy skills, daddy skills, hobby skills, wifey skills, whatever it is that you want to grow, whatever you're expecting from God, how many of we can polish ourselves and we can grow. Every once in a blue moon, I will talk to someone and they had a breakup with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I've been saying this for a long, long time. I'll say, hey, that relationship was just practice for the one. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Just practice. Don't dwell on the loss. Just keep getting ready for the blessing. How many would say amen? And look, I want to close with a childhood illustration. And I can't think of anything more practical. So I have a question for you. How does a poor little Dominican kid end up making $300 million? You know how? A broomstick and beans. So listen, there are all kinds of stories. You guys know I play baseball. I got to throw in a sports illustration today. Do you know how many major leaguers from DR, when they were little boys, they couldn't afford a baseball, they couldn't afford this, they couldn't afford that, but you know what? They would go get mama's broomstick and they would steal some beans out of the thing. And that's the way they took batting practice. By the way, New York Times has written articles about this. All kinds of players even today do it. But look, I got a 2-minute video. This guy only made about $70 million, so he's a little bit of a slouch, right? Carlos Peña, watch this for a moment and then we're gonna pray.
You got a favorite hitting drill, Carlos, to have fun with?
Come on here. I got something for you, Bill Rankin. All right, how about this? How about hitting popcorn kernels, all right? This is my favorite, all right? Ever since I was a kid, you hit popcorn.
Popcorn's
kernels.
Your favorite? Or just hitting popcorn?
I love
kernels.
Popcorn too. Okay. But before you eat them, well, actually, you're going to hit them, okay? So you won't be able to eat these. But how about this? This is so important for hand-eye coordination. I used to do this when I was a kid. I even did it when I was in the big leagues, which was kind of crazy. But hey, you got to keep it real, Bill, all right? Think about it. Look at this. This is a broomstick. I just grabbed it from over there, and I took it out of... You got the idea,
and you got
right?
One kernel.
Look at this. Small. This is, thousands of times smaller than a baseball, all right? And look at this small broomstick, all right? So you're going to try to hit these kernels with a broomstick. Think about what that does to your hand-eye coordination. So here we're going to try it right here. Might take you a little bit
to get it going.
But... Not really.
I heard it.
You heard it right away.
One for one.
Woohoo!
Two for two. Oop. All right, that's a good swing, though.
And it just keeps you right now.
Wow, that's a rocket.
Just tell you what, Rip, check this out. When I was a kid, you know, I didn't really have a lot of confidence at the beginning of my, you know, baseball career at that age, 10 years old, 11 years old. And I had a friend who said, hey, come here, let me help you. And we started doing this drill. We did it all week. And then that Saturday, when we actually played in the organized league, I went 2 for 3. I still remember this. Went 2 for 3 with 2 triples off of the wall. For the first time in my baseball life, right, I was able to have a successful game and drive the baseball.
Right.
From that moment on, the confidence that I gained, you know, I became one, you know, I believed I was a good hitter. And it really changed the course of, the course of my career, right. Really. Even in the big leagues, I did it. I used to go in the behind in the Coliseum in Oakland. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm fun. Just being a kid.
Heidi, you can
hit
a kernel.
It works.
You can hit this thing if you can hit a kernel.
Better believe it.
I don't think there's any
doubt. If you can hit a little kernel. So here's my question to you. Okay. By the way, I had a bunch of Dominican guys. We did this with bottle tops, caps too. And in DR, they didn't hit popcorn kernels. It was beans. They just couldn't find wherever ESPN offices. They didn't have any beans over there. I was laughing when I saw that. So they improvised. But here's my question to you, okay? Where's your broomstick? Where's your beans? What is God saying? Look, it's not what's not available. It's what is available. That God wants you to use to grow your life. It's not what you don't have. Children of God don't say, I don't have. You know what children of God say? Children of God say, God is with me. Come on, say it with me. God is with me. That's what children of God say. And so when we wake up in the morning, we start searching for broomsticks. We start searching for beans. We start searching for different ways that we can grow because we know that the Holy Spirit, who's called the helper and the counselor, he will help us to grow. How many believe he wants to grow us and get us ready for the future? Somebody believe that here today. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. God uses any Myra that is expecting to be used by God. We need to pray, God, make me like Myra. Use me today.